Hey guys, I'm Jen, owner of Hello June Creative, a boutique brand and web design studio. I'm here to help you learn, up-level, and find community in your design business journey. Just remember, the only designer you need to be better than is the one you were yesterday. Hey guys, welcome back to Better the Brand Designer podcast. I have my friend and employee and amazing associate designer, Lauren Breyer, on today. You guys know her, obviously, from Hello June and from previous episodes that she's done. She is the founder of LB Creative. You can find her on Instagram at LB Creative. And she also has her own amazing podcast called the Branding Bestie Podcast that you can find on her Instagram as well. Today, we're talking about spooky client stories. So difficult client stories that you guys have experienced. Lauren and I both share some tea about clients that we have experienced, not naming any names, not really throwing any shade directly at anybody, but hopefully it is interesting and a good listen. I also wanted to remind you guys that tomorrow is the day, November 1st, the Design Mini Mind, my signature one-to-one small group, one-to-one and small group program is opening up applications for the second cohort of the program. This has been something that I have absolutely loved doing. We did the first cohort this year, and it's all for designers who are really interested in working like lower hours, like not working full-time hours, but wanting to make a full-time income, wanting to make revenue that feels aligned with them, work with the type of clients they want to, get better at marketing their companies in a way that feels aligned with like what they're good at and what their strengths are. There's so much that we talk about. And so if you guys are curious about what is included in the program, you can go to hellojunecreative.co/minimind. That's where the application is. You can find all of the information about cost and you can apply there, learn more about you can see some screenshots of some wins that my past MiniMind students have experienced. There's just so many amazing wins, and a lot of them are financial, which is awesome, but so many of them as well are just like time wins or schedule wins or boundary wins or confidence wins. Those are the ones that I am just so, so, so excited about, because all of those things lead to high revenue as well as a lifestyle that actually like is just fun and spacious and all of those wonderful things. So, HelloGeneCreative.co/minimind. There's only 8 spots, guys, and I definitely anticipate this program filling up prior to the end date for the enrollment period, which is November 19th. And so if you know that this is something that you're interested in, I definitely recommend applying so that I can get back with you pretty quickly. Spots are first come, first serve, depending on your deposit. And we get started in January of 2024 all the way up until June of 2024. So if you want a spot in that group program, if you want me as your mentor, if you like my style, if you like my values, if you relate to the type of business that I've built, this might be the opportunity for you. So all of the information is going to be in the show notes below, but again, hellojunecreative.co/minimind. All right, let's dive into the episode. Welcome, Lauren, to the podcast again. Hi.
Hi, I'm so happy to be back.
Yay. It was funny because I was thinking about this like yesterday when I was, just thinking about like the schedule and all the things that we have going on at Hello June. I was like, wait, when Lauren and I record, like who is working on Hello June? I mean, our amazing intern, Allie, thank you. But I was like, because I would love to have you on like more episodes, but it's like legitimately like it takes away like, 3 full hours of Hello June time just because it's an hour and a half for both of us. And so I was thinking like, wow, so this is a special moment, you guys. We are sacrificing 3 hours of valuable work time to be here with you guys. But I'm so excited. It's nice to be able to like talk about, just like hang out for a little bit instead of like just talking about like client delivery stuff, which is what we spend most of our time on calls talking about. So hopefully it'll be really refreshing.
Yeah, it's going to be such a fun episode too. It's the spooky season, so we're going to get really spooky today.
I know. Are you feeling spooky? Are you like feeling in the fall era, spooky era?
For the first time ever, I have a fall bucket list, and I'm trying to check things off of it. It's not really Halloween specific, but I've been trying to do spooky kind of stuff, like I carved pumpkins. I raked a big leaf pile and jumped in it. So trying to be festive.
I love that so much. What else is on your bucket list?
A lot of like baking. So making like an apple pie from scratch, maybe like a pumpkin pie from scratch, which I've actually never made a pumpkin pie from scratch before. So I feel like that would be a really fun activity.
Yeah, pumpkin pie from the store is just so – it's just so ready-made. They just look so perfect. I know. And they're like $5. So you're like, oh, like I may as well just like buy this. But yeah. I have a really, really good pie crust recipe that I will send you. It is from Martha Stewart, and it has never led me wrong. You can either do it with your hands or you can use your food processor. But I don't really like talk about cooking and baking a lot because this podcast is about brand design. But I love baking. I love cooking. I am definitely like – I'm cooking up a storm here in my new kitchen, which is really fun. Yeah. But you know, you're saying like fall treats. Like I have been off my fall treat game. I have not made like any like pumpkin flavor thing. My husband the other day made pumpkin bread and I was like, I am off my game. This should be really just because I'm like the baker in the family, you know, and like he doesn't really bake very often. But he was like, oh, I just like really wanted pumpkin bread. I was like, oh, I need to make muffins. I need to make pumpkin pancakes. Yeah. I want to make cinnamon rolls from scratch for Thanksgiving morning. We're hosting this year in our new house, and so there's a lot of things that I want to cook. But I think for my fall bucket list, there's a lot of farms in the area, obviously, because it's like kind of more like country, and the agrotourism industry is so huge here. Like all these farms get these, like they like jump houses and a pumpkin patch and like a hayride and like legitimately all the things that you get, like games, you know. And
so fun
for a 3-year-old. It's like pure heaven. They have these big like jumping pillow things. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where you can like, there's like, it's just like, it's like a blow up, but like it's just a really big flat thing, but you go so high, and like Ryder loves them. So definitely want to do that. And then like a You Pick tomato farm, just like so that their tomatoes were ready to pick. And I know tomatoes are not super fall, but we want to do that.
Pasta is pretty fall though, and you can like make your own pasta sauce. That would be so good. Yes, I'm actually going to a place on Friday that's exactly like what you were talking about with the flat jumping.
The jumping pillow.
Yeah. And I'm meeting my friend who has an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I know they're just gonna have like the best time.
Oh yeah. It's like so, I mean, that's one of the fun things about being a parent or being an auntie or like having friends who have kids. You get to like experience the seasons like through their eyes, and it's like it just brings a little bit of the magic back into it, you know, like the holidays and Thanksgiving and talking about the pilgrims and making like handprint turkeys and just all the little crafts that writers bring home is just like so nice. But I wanted to, I told you we were going to talk about this like before we got into the recording. I thought it would be interesting for you guys to just hear me gush about Lauren a little bit. Maybe it won't be interesting. Maybe it'll be super boring. I don't know. You can skip forward if you think it'd be boring, but just kind of talking about something that's like what we're working on in Hello June is just like, it's a branding project for, I would say like a luxury furniture company that makes like these beautiful custom furnishings. And I told Lauren, because it's due to the client on Thursday, and so like her due date to like get me things before they go out to the clients typically like 2 days beforehand, so that we have some time to iterate. I have some time to like pop in and like just like make some random adjustments, not because like what she did wasn't good enough, but just like sometimes it's nice to like, if I have a vision of the way I want a letter to flow or something, for me to just go in and do it, just it's easier. And like we have this like great rapport together where like we kind of tag team on brand projects. I was like, okay, don't spend like more than like an hour or so. I think I said an hour on this.
Yeah,
like,
I think you said an hour.
And you recorded a loom for me at the end of the day yesterday, and I just watched it like right before we got onto this recording. And like I was just so blown away. Like it just, it looks like Hello June. Like it is a Hello June brand. And like there was like not anything else on the artboard, like any like unused directions. Like it was all like everything that was on the artboard was like, okay, this is like a really, really solid candidate. Okay, here's another really, really solid candidate. Yeah. And I think that like what you made just in that like hour of timing yourself, like is probably going to be what ends up with like the final brand. So like I'm just in awe of like your abilities. And this is just a reminder for anyone that like you think that you need to spend tons and tons and tons of time on something. Like you do not. And most often the concept that I design first usually becomes at least one of the main contenders for mm-hmm. getting presented in the concept presentation. So what was that like, kind of like being under a time constraint? I know that like you were working on another website project earlier that day because I had a call. Mm-hmm. Like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, that was a really fun brand. And I think that just speaks to how strong the brand strategy was for that client, because like we kind of just knew exactly what it should look like. And the client was also amazing with feedback, where she was like, I really like this specific letter and I wish this letter was a little bit more like this. And so I was like, okay, perfect. That's exactly what I'll do. So that makes my job a lot easier when the client is really clear. And also we are really clear with the client to begin with the strategy. Mm-hmm. So that just makes it so much faster. But yeah, I was a little worried with the like time constraint. I was like, hopefully I can do something decent. Like I knew the primary like typeface would be fine because I already knew, like could see it in my mind. But some of the other like marks, I was like, well, we're going to try this like monogram and see how it goes. And I know like you're the queen of monograms. I always say that. So like,
you're the princess because you're killing it. Like we're two queens who are sitting on our double throne up there on Monogram Palace because it was truly awesome. And I'm excited for them to see it. I mean, like,
me too.
It's so funny. Like for so long, I had this like belief that, oh well, I'm the only one who can create a Hello June brand because like I am Hello June. And I feel like this year was probably the first year where I really started seeing my company as like completely separate from me. Maybe not completely separate, but like this is an entity that like we all pour into, and like I am not the only one that can like come up with these ideas. I mean, I'm not even really giving you a lot of direction in terms of like exactly like where to put the letters, and like I just was like, hey, use this monogram and here's the inspiration and this is what the client said, and then just like come up with it. And like I was just thinking to myself that like that skill, being able to do that in so little time, is rare and like something to be celebrated. And so I just, it was so funny because I was like, I don't know if you have you read the Loom comments yet that I like made on it?
I did.
Okay. Yeah, like it's so funny because I was like, oh, what if you like tried this and like made this day look like a C or whatever? Yeah. And then like literally not even a minute later in the video, you're like, oh, what if I like made this J look like a C? I was like, oh my gosh. I feel like there's so many moments like that where like you'll be like, oh, like I feel like I just need to like someone else to look at this. Like, what do you think? I was thinking that maybe we could do this. And I'm like, oh yeah. And then I like go in and do it. And you're like, yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. Or like vice versa, where I'm like, I think it would look cool if you did X, Y, Z. And then you literally do it exactly the way that like I envision it in my mind, even if I don't have a vision. It's just crazy. And so hopefully this is encouraging to anyone out there who is like, I can't find anybody to like do a good enough job on my company or whatever. Like, not that I was in that space, because I've worked with really, really talented people in the past as well, but I feel like we just we're just on the same wavelength, man. It's just like really, really nice. So
It's scary to like hand over power to people, like creative power specifically. And like I did the same thing with LB when I had an intern and she designed the branding for my podcast, and I was like, I don't know, should I just do it myself? It's my podcast, it's my company. And then she just like did such a great job. And sometimes it's nice to have someone else work on things for you, because then they can provide like a perspective that you would have never come from, and you're like, oh, that's even better than what I would have done. So
yes, honestly, that is like how I feel about this brand for sure.
It's amazing. So yeah, that was a fun project to work on with you, and I'm so excited to finish it up.
I know, me too. I feel like I'm just going to go in, make some minor like tweaks, just like little spacing things and stuff. I mean, I still keep coming back to the fact that you did all that in an hour, which is amazing. but I'm excited to see it in mock-ups too. Our intern, Allie, does all of our mock-ups and she puts together all of our client presentations, which is just honestly so nice. So at this point, like for brand identity, like, yes, a lot of the brand strategy ideation comes from you as well, Lauren, which has been really awesome to be able to kind of hand off that. Like, I mean, I know you say that you feel like you're not as strong in copywriting, but you do write a lot of copy in those brand strategy documents. And I think that it's amazing. And so like, I kind of am just coming in and like, maybe I made the initial like Pinterest board for that one, but I don't always do that. And then I'm like reviewing and tweaking and finalizing and like maybe shifting some things around the mood board or whatever. And then coming in and kind of you know, doing the tweaks on the brand, and then our intern puts everything together. I record the video and send it off. And so that's kind of like the balance of work. And what I know that what I'm describing is not groundbreaking at all. And in fact, every creative director ever has done this since the, like, the inception of time, but it's new to me. And so yeah, that's why I'm just like so excited about it. So that's my rose. I mean, that can be our roses and thorns, honestly, because like,
yeah,
I feel like
that's a good
one. I feel like so much of the work that we're doing right now with Hello June, like you said, it's better than what I could have put together myself. And that is like the biggest rose ever. So,
Yay. A good feeling.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, yeah, let's just like skip the roses and thorns because we just kind of chit chatted a little bit about some business stuff. And like, let's get into the tea because there.
Yeah, I'm ready to spill the tea.
It is piping hot today. It really is, going along with our fall theme. So this is our second annual Spooky Stories episode. We started last year, and that was so fun to record with Esther, and she is dearly missed. We miss you, Esther. But it's so nice to have Lauren on to like kind of bounce around just some like reactions, because I feel like if it was just me reacting alone to these stories, it would just be like kind of like serious, because some of these can get really serious. And in fact, listen until like near the end of the episode, because I'm actually going to be sharing the spookiest of spooky client experiences, guys. Like, have nightmares like about this. Yeah. I had to go see a therapist because of this client experience. Okay. And that's not to say that therapy is bad or wrong. That therapy is amazing. It's an awesome tool. But I was in a bad, bad place after I had this client experience. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to spill all the tea today for you guys. I never talked about this before on the podcast. I've like mentioned it like briefly, but I have not gone into detail. And today, the details will be shared with everybody.
Yes.
All the tea. And I know Lauren has a story. It will. Lauren
has
a story
too.
And we have a couple of stories from listeners as well. So basically my PSA to everybody with this episode is that these difficult client stories, we share them to learn. We share them to be entertained. We do not share them to put anyone on blast. No client names will be shared. The names of the designers that submitted their stories, they did give us permission to share their name and their studio name, but no identifying client information was shared. And I will not be sharing like identifying client information about my story, and neither will Lauren. And so like, this is not like a bashing episode. This is not to like, we're not trying to say anything like negative about anybody, but it is a fun one. And it's an educational one as well. I feel like I learned something from every single one of these stories. Every time I hear a designer talk to me, I mean, I'm sure both of us have heard even crazier things that probably will never see the light of day, just because like legal action is like happening or whatever, you know. But that is the perspective that we're taking with today's episode. So anyways, we're going to share the story, and then the person also shared what they think they would do differently or what they learned from the experience. Not accepting blame, not laying blame, just like, this is what I learned and this is what I would do differently, so that we can all, you know, protect ourselves from these spookiest of spooky clients in the future.
Yeah. Okay. So the first story is coming from Joe from The Creative Inca. And Joe says, in my first year in business, I landed a client for a full brand and website design. Everything was great for the brand. He loved everything about it. And we finalized the brand. And then it comes time to plan the website and he disappears. That was in early 2022. It's late 2023 right now, and we still haven't completed. At least he paid in full for everything, or else I would have been really upset. And then Joe says what they would do differently. After this happened, I added various legal clauses to my contract that address ghosting and feedback delay charges and a charge to unarchive a project.
I think the spookiest part of the story is that the client paid in full.
Honestly, yeah, I'm always shocked when I hear stories like this where the client pays so much money and then either just doesn't respond, they're super late with their feedback, they ghost them. I'm like, don't you want to be involved in the project that you paid like thousands of dollars for?
I don't know if it's an accounting error or like I feel like if I had paid thousands, I mean, I've followed up with like with businesses or whatever that I paid like $50 for, like,
yeah,
or right? pest control people that didn't show up. It's like, yeah. You better believe you're receiving a call from me because I paid a deposit and you are coming to my house to get rid of my ants. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then like thousands of dollars for a website. It's like, I understand like not needing it anymore or like closing your business down or whatever, but like.
Yeah.
I mean, more power to you that, like, I guess you didn't have to do the work, but now, like, I feel like it's hanging over your head that they could come back at any moment and be like, I paid you for this, you know?
I would be, like, that would be my fear. I would be so upset if you were in the middle of a busy season and they said, hey, like, I need to restart right now. I'd be like, ugh. I've heard of a lot of people that add clauses into their contract about, like, restart timelines and fees and stuff. Like, if we need to pick the project back up, it's like,
yeah.
Under the discretion of my own schedule and, like, mm-hmm. you know, you basically have no say in when that happens. So
100%. I feel very protected by my contract. Have I ever charged a restart fee? No. Have I ever charged a late feedback fee? No, I have not.
Yeah,
have I received late feedback from a client? Yes. But I feel like the contract is there. Like, I mean, yes, it's there to help me, like, enforce my boundaries, enforce the process, but like it's really there to just protect me from someone suing me. So like if someone ever did like not give me feedback and like then they were mad that the timeline wasn't like matching up with what was in the original contract, and I don't even put like guaranteed timelines in my contract at all. I have a huge disclaimer in multiple places that says estimated start date, estimated like launch date. All estimated dates are pending timely client feedback and are subject to change at any time for any reason from the client or from the designer, so that like I don't ever get into a situation where someone doesn't give feedback. I'm not able to provide like the services that they paid for. And then they come after me saying, oh, well, you said that the website was going to launch December 1st, which I will share about later in my story.
So. Yeah. And no matter how good of a process you have and how kind of a person you are, it does not matter. Clients will provide feedback late. I mean, not every client, but it will happen. And you just have to protect yourself. So,
what percentage of the time would you say that your clients provide feedback on time?
I would say like 50%.
I was going to say the same thing.
Like it's usually not. I would say it's a low percentage of clients that respond like really late, like a week plus late, but like a day late, that happens all the time. So
yeah
I'm and usually I just allow it, but I do send reminders and I do mention like this can push the timeline back. So like I had a client the other day that submitted stuff on time and I was like, wow, that's surprising.
So refreshing.
Yeah,
I was actually on the phone with a client yesterday and, you know, I was just talking about like their launch date. They're like opening up a brand new like retail space and they're renovating right now. And so I just want to touch base about the timeline. And they were like so sweet. They were concerned that like my timeline would like end before they like needed to launch the website, which I guess technically it like would. But I was like, guys, don't worry. I'm like pretty casual about that. If you need to like delay, then we can like. I usually will send an email and put it in writing and stuff. But, like, I was like, don't worry about, like, me not being available for you, which, like, is me being, you know, extending grace. And, like, but I would not ever, like, I mean, I don't want to say I would never because who knows, like, if I'm, like, really busy and then I literally cannot, like, respond to their email or whatever. But I don't know. I just feel like I've always approached things, like, really – with a lot of flexibility, and it's definitely bitten me in the butt, don't get me wrong. And so it's like, you know, the other side of the pendulum is like being this like robot of like a boundaries person, and like I, you know, and then not like leaving room for like someone's kid being sick or like life coming up or needing to delay for whatever reason. Like I had a client a couple years ago go through a really really difficult divorce in the middle of our project, and she did not have the bandwidth to even like email me or call me, as she should not, because she was dealing with like really intense, complicated like family dynamics and like legal like issues. And so I was like, that's fine. Let's table this. I'm not going to charge you anything. You know, it's just like, it feels weird to like slap a restart fee on someone when they like, something like that happens in their life. And like, we work with humans, you know, and like, every coach ever can be like, oh, have boundaries and like make sure you like blah blah blah, but sometimes situations are just more gray area than that, and it's hard.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. So definitely.
Okay, let's do the next story. Caitlin from Sharp Lines Design submitted the story. She said, I had an excited and energetic client who was a photographer in need of some branding as she was expanding her business and moving across the country. We had a discovery call and talked about what the brand should look like overall and what was expected. She was excited and we stayed in touch over the next 3 weeks. As I was sending her brand presentation, she was texting me saying she really needed the logos because she was going to be doing some advertising that week. I got the presentation sent off and literally got ghosted. I let her know immediately that the brand presentation was sent to her and was awaiting her feedback so she could receive all of her logo files. The entire weekend went by and I never heard a word. I sent the files using WeTransfer so I could see that she downloaded the brand presentation immediately. I love that when you like do a loom or something. Yeah, you can see that someone's watched the video or like that they haven't watched the video. I'm like, sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah.
She says, I allowed 2 weeks, then I finally reached out and tried to ask if she hated it and if there were changes. I really just really just going for it. I like it. I really just wanted to make her happy. Finally, about one month later, I had to send her an email stating there was going to be an extra fee after all this wait time with no response. I wanted to see if she was at least alive. Oh, my God. So I went to her Instagram and come to find out I was blocked. I check her website periodically just to see if she's using the logos I presented.
I have
heard about clients ripping logos off of presentations and using them without the like second part of their things, and some designers will watermark their concept presentations for that reason.
Honestly, I get the feeling that maybe the client did not like what was presented to them, and like it's probably no fault of the designer, you know. Sometimes clients are not clear at all about what they want, and they probably just like did not want to like say that they didn't want that, so they just ghosted them, which is a horrible, horrible way to like go about that.
I know.
But that's kind of the vibe that I'm getting here.
Clients will straight up approve a brand strategy, approve a mood board, be like, yes, I love this inspiration, and then we see the exact like inspiration, like the exact concept that they literally approved. They'll be like, I'm really confused and I just don't like, I'm just not loving these vibes. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm so confused.
Yeah,
it's happened to everybody. I know. Oh, and then that makes me feel like, did I just like mess up or something? And now I know, like, I feel like my process at this point, I trust my process so much that if a client like changes their mind or like it's not resonating or whatever, I know it's not me. And it's probably not even the client either. It's just like they have something going on or like whatever. Like I try to approach that with giving grace to people.
Yeah.
But it literally happens like to designers all the time. And it's so frustrating. And so I'm so sorry that this happened to you, Caitlin. You said that what you would do differently. You said, overall, this is a strange experience. And I'm not sure what I would change during a process like this. I still value the logos and the illustration I provided for her. And I feel like it was some of my best work. Bottom line, this is why we take deposits.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think there's anything that like I would have done differently, I feel like.
No, as long as you're getting a deposit, I feel like that's all you can really do. And yeah, I remember reading a thread on Reddit recently. I don't know how I even got onto this subreddit, but it was a subreddit for like photographers. And somebody was saying that they did not get like a deposit for something because they just don't ask for deposits, and they were like, oh, this person ghosted me. And then they were it was kind of funny because they were trying to argue the point that you shouldn't charge deposits because it's putting people in a hard financial place. And I was like really baffled by that because in my mind, I'm like, if somebody has to invest thousands of dollars in your service, like putting a deposit down, I think they can handle paying a deposit because they're going to pay the whole amount anyway. So yeah, deposits are so important, and I cannot stress that enough. That might be the most important thing like when onboarding a client.
Yeah. First of all, that's a really hot take that person has. To, like,
I know. Everybody was like, no.
I'm glad that the people of Reddit came to this person's aid because I see the logic but the math ain't mathin', because you're gonna get burned. And also, there's just so many things wrong with that. And the fact that you were like, oh, I don't know how I got into this subreddit. Literally, story of my life. I'll yeah, get on like the same. DoorDash subreddit. I'll get onto like I was part of the like the Swifties subreddit, the Taylor Swift. It's a scary place there, guys, by the way.
I have not seen that place.
It is a little terrifying, the amount of information these people have about her. I mean, love Taylor. Like, she is amazing.
Yeah,
it's just so funny. Yeah. Take deposits, everybody. I am so sorry this happened to you, Caitlin.
Yeah, me too. This next story comes from Cagney, from Cagney Davis Designs. Love that you guys have the same last name. Okay, so Cagney says, to put it blunt, I was basically this client's puppet. There were so many revisions and lots of I'll know it when I see it and just no trust or respect for me as a designer. A lot of me executing all of her ideas that were so bad, and she didn't care about my design expertise on why those ideas were not a good idea. And she was late on submitting everything. I could go on and on, but I'll keep it there. Ugh, that's the worst kind of client. I'm so sorry.
Okay, the puppet part, very relatable. Like, I feel like we've all been there with, like, I mean, you can call them puppet, pixel pusher. Like, I mean, you would be the pixel pusher in that situation. And, like, I'm just going to, like, give a shout out to all my designer besties out there who have, like, needed to be pixel pushers, because I feel like we've all been there. And I know that it's like, oh, well, don't be a pixel pusher. But sometimes you just have to, like, get through the project.
Yeah.
And if you need to, like, pixel push your way out of a project, then, like, I will give you a standing ovation, because, like, some clients, it just goes wrong, and they ask for really awful things, and you just have, I mean, you don't have to, you could cancel the project, but sometimes it's just like, you need to collect that check. I will pixel push for a check. I mean, you have me on record saying it, but clients, please don't ask me to do that, because I promise you my ideas will give you a better result most of the time.
Not every project is a portfolio piece, and that's okay. Amen. Sometimes things derail. Sometimes clients ask for things that you're like, no, I really don't think that's a good idea. And sometimes they just have such strong, like, personal opinions. And I mean, at the end of the day, what matters is that the client feels really good and aligned with their brand. And if that means that they're suggesting things that look bad, like, it sucks for us, but at least they're happy and won't, like, come for you. So sometimes it's worth it.
Just avoiding legal action over here.
Yeah.
Just trying to run my business in the clear, compliant, no lawyers coming up to my door.
Yeah. So Cagney says what she would do differently. She said, I didn't set enough boundaries and I undercharged. I kept letting revisions happen, just hoping that it would finally be the last one. Because she was rude too, I truthfully wanted to do the revisions and just get it over with. I'm a people pleaser, even when someone is mean to me. Same.
Me too.
What I did do right was over communicating. I couldn't have over communicated enough, yet somehow it was still a nightmare on submitting things on time.
Yes,
I feel that.
Feel that deeply in my soul, unfortunately.
Yeah, being a people pleaser is hard, especially in a service-based industry where like all you want is to make someone happy, but sometimes that makes you unhappy in the process, which is really difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I get when she was saying she kept on thinking that revision was going to be the last one. Like, I have been there before, and, like, my husband will be out here just be like, just cancel the project. Like, you don't need the money. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, but it's just one more. Like, I'm like an addict. Like, I just want to do, like, one more round of revisions. Just, like, I just want them to be happy. Like, those are the types of things that keep me up at night.
And I've had clients in the past where they need a lot of revisions and I'm really stressed about it. And then at the end of the project, they're so obsessed with it that they tell all their friends and they post about it on social media and they're like, LB Creative's the best. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess that was worth it, even though it was terrible in the moment.
Yeah, I know. So, it's like, you know, clients that will go and like adjust their website after you deliver the website to them, and then like your site footer credit is still on there, and you're like, I've seen people in groups asking about like, okay, my client made this website look so ugly, like my site footer credit is on there, like I don't want people to think that like that was me that like did that crazy like text overlay or something. It's like, do I ask them to remove it? And people were just like, just log into it and remove the credit. No one will ever know.
That's a sneaky move, but I love it.
I know. I don't know if I would have the gumption to do that.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have the courage to say anything though. How can you bring that up without offending them?
I feel like you could turn into a sales opportunity, like, hey, I see that you've like added some new content to your website, like just want to remind you that like I have VIP days available.
Yeah, that's would that so be like true. Aggressive?
I don't know.
And if they say no, then unfortunately you might have to just live with that and hope that no one sees it.
Might have to take one for the team and like just let it live.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, our last listener submitted story comes from personal friend of myself and the podcast, Alex from the Aquatis Design Studio. She says she had a client reach out who wanted to work with me on branding and web design. They didn't want me to do any development because they already had a relationship with a developer that they enjoyed working with. Great, no big deal. I consulted them to have them work on the site development while I'd handle the site design and manage creative direction on the project. They're excited and decided to move forward. I made a big mistake not meeting with them and their developer before this agreement was made. The developer ended up being extremely rude to me and did everything possible to undermine my credibility as a designer during the project. My client, who is a Reiki practitioner and has no clue about the intricacies of web design, had no idea why the developer was being so condescending. Eventually, things got so bad that I had to terminate my role in the project. Lesson learned, I will never, ever do for a do work for a client without communicating with their developer first.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so she says that she learned that she needs to meet with their developer before agreeing to work on the project, which... I'm actually in a similar situation, Alex. And so not that like a developer is being rude to me, but like I am working with a client who decided that they wanted to bring on their own developer, but it's a new developer to them as well, because they just like wanted to work with someone local. I of course like wanted them to work with Jen, which is, I completely understand. And that's like absolutely fair. And like, they got a good price and everything. And these developers seem amazing and very competent. But there were a lot of like email messages that I sent back and forth, just kind of asking about like their process and my process, and would it be okay if, you know, like what they needed, and it was Figma okay, and do they need full mobile mockups and like that type of thing. And I just sent off the Figma file to like the draft of like the homepage to the client and to the developer, and the developer like emailed back immediately and was like, hey, yeah, like it looks great. I was worried they were going to be like, oh, well, this isn't what we expected, but they're like, yeah, no, it looks good. So
that's good.
It's like, it makes me a little nervous just because I have never been in this situation before. And also Alex, you shared this story. So I'm just like, ooh, crossing my fingers that like, they don't like dissect my like mock-up and then like tell the client that I did a bad job or something. I know I didn't do a bad job though. So I don't know. It's just like a sticky situation that I have anxiety about.
That is tough. And I mean, not that you could have done anything different in this situation, Alex, but I feel like sometimes it's really important to like educate your clients on why you work with a specific developer instead of like the client having their own developer. Like, I know Jen, you work with Jen, and you've talked so much about like your client or your designer developer relationship, and you guys have this like telepathic way of working together where like just you like send her something and then she's like, oh yeah, like I see the vision, but like I think it would look better and like it would function better if we did it like this, and like there's kind of a back and forth instead of just like, here's the design, now build it, and like, which is fine too, but I think if you explain to your client that like you do have that kind of push-pull relationship with your developer and like you work together as a team and you've been working together for a while, then I think the client would be a lot more likely to be like, all right, let's just use your developer. But I know in this situation, you said that they wanted to work with this developer because they already had a relationship with them. So that's really tricky. But man, I'm glad that you were able to get out of the project, because I'm sure that was super stressful.
Yeah. Oh, it sucks. Like, I mean, this is not a spooky client story. This is like a spooky, like, subcontractor story, which yeah, I feel like true. We could probably do like a whole episode.
Oh man. Spooky, yeah.
Spooky, like tangential, like husbands of your client or something, where like,
oh gosh,
just,
yeah.
Oh my, I'm sure like people have so many stories, but yeah, that's a really good lesson learned. And like, you know, I definitely, like, I feel like when I read this story before I got on the recording, I definitely, like, took that to heart when I was kind of starting this engagement with this client. And I'm sure the project's going to be amazing. These developers look awesome. Their work is amazing. So yeah, we'll see. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, I want to do what's best for my client. And what's best for them is working with, you know, that developer and right. like etc. But you know, in this situation, Alex, like, there was no way for you to like foresee that that was gonna happen, and so that sucks. But I'm glad that you have like a new policy now where you're like, no, we are only working with people that I have vetted, that I have a relationship with, etc.
Yeah, love that. Yeah, hopping on a call with a developer before the project even starts is probably a good idea too, to just, you know, scope out any red flags.
Yeah.
And see exactly. a little bit of their process too, because if you have really clashing processes, then that might just, you might not even want to like move forward with the project to begin with. Okay, so I will go ahead and tell my story. I didn't write down notes, so I apologize if it's like a little bit scatterbrained, because okay. I'm just trying to remember it on the fly. This was actually my first freelance project that I ever did in my entire career, and I was so scarred from this that I almost never did it ever again. So luckily I overcame that. Okay, so I was working at an agency at the time. So I had a full-time design job and I didn't really need to do freelancing. It was before LB existed. So I was just kind of curious about what it would be like to have my own clients. And my agency boss at the time, she actually referred this client to me because they needed some branding, and it was like a really, really low budget project. And of course the agency was like, well, we can't do this for you, but like our employee, she could like do it freelance if you're interested. So it was for a yoga studio, and I loved taking yoga at the time. So I was like, oh, this will be so perfect. It'll be so fun. And I didn't really know the process of like branding at the time. Like, I knew how to design really well, but I was still very new to like how you do brand strategy and like how to carry out what the client's, you know, mission and values and goals are into visuals. So I was designing more from the perspective of like, I know how to make something look really good. And that's kind of where I started. And so the client told me, you know, the name of their business and like a little bit about them. And I basically just jumped right into design. I did not do any strategy. And then I handed off, I think, like a couple of options to the client. And she liked one direction, but didn't love it. And so she asked me for some revisions. I sent her revisions. She still didn't really love it. And eventually she was like, I think it would be helpful if like you actually came to my house so I could like explain something in person. And I was like, yeah, okay, that makes sense, I guess. I didn't really know what, you know, what the standard was for this kind of thing. So I went to her house and she literally sat me down at her dining table and pixel pushed me for like 2 hours straight until we got the logo exactly how she wanted it. She totally disregarded any of my color palette suggestions, and she went with like the worst shade of mustard yellow and the worst shade of purple paired together. Ugh. And the logo was really bad. And she was like, yeah, okay, like, I think this will work. And then
great.
She never ended up using it.
Oh, gosh.
And it was just so humiliating to sit there and be pixel pushed by someone. But honestly, like, it was so early on in my career that I didn't know what I was doing. So now I completely understand that the reason why this project derailed so badly was because I did not have any kind of brand strategy. And if I had like a mood board and type direction and color direction, it would have been such a different situation. And she probably would have been like, yeah, like this feels right. Or like, I'm actually leaning more this way. And yeah, so that really taught me the power of brand strategy, but I'm glad that it didn't sway me away from freelancing because it definitely freaked me out.
It sucks that that happened like the very first time that you ever did a freelance project.
I know.
I'm thinking my lucky stars right now that you didn't quit because
Yeah, me too.
You would have just like, yeah, and it would have just been so sad that like we wouldn't be here right now. You know what I mean? And
right?
So I guess that's a good testament to like if you have a difficult client experience, particularly early on in your career, which I feel like, I mean, spooky clients can pop up at any level at any time in your career. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's much more like debilitating. And like, I feel like my reaction to difficult clients was just like way more heightened like earlier on because I had such a lack of confidence in myself. I mean, as I should. I mean, confidence takes time to build up. And so I want to go back to like little baby freelancer. I'm like, no.
It's
no,
okay.
You're not in the wrong. It's okay.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I want to be like, you're just starting. It's fine. But
yeah,
I think like I had another freelance client maybe like a year later, and that was a really good experience. And so I feel like that made me feel like, okay, maybe it's not all so bad, and gave me the confidence to like try again. So yeah, unfortunately, sometimes the worst situations come up, but it's a rare situation when something like that happens. So
yeah,
just know that.
Yeah. Thank you for
sharing. I'm excited to hear about your story.
I know. It doesn't involve going over to anyone's home. I know you were. Like, it's so funny. Like, I forget, like, when we started, like, becoming friends or whatever. Did I, like, Voxer you about this, like, as it was happening? Or, like,
I can't remember if you Voxered me. You might have. I think it was right when we started working together in, like, a really small capacity. Like, I was just doing, like, a little bit of stuff for you. But I feel like, yeah, it was right at the beginning of our relationship, and I was
devastated
for you. I was worried that you were going to want to quit everything because
I did want to quit everything.
Yeah. Okay, well, you can tell the story.
Yes. So this is actually so funny that like you were – I was probably crying into Voxer to you if you were around at this like point in my business. Like,
yeah.
I cried a lot about – I probably haven't cried about anything in my life more than I cried about this. So I'm really like really leading this up. Okay, anyways. All right, here is the story. So an unnamed client in an unnamed industry reached out, and we were going to do a brand and web project together. And it was actually my highest like booked project at the time, but I definitely undercharged. I should have charged – so much more for the scope that we ended up doing. So that was lesson number one. It was great through branding until we got to web. And then the first red flag was that I showed her the website and she did not give feedback on it. And in fact, she just said, hey, looks great. I think she texted me or something, which is like issue number two is that she had my personal phone number. And this is the project that made me stop sharing this and take it off my like email and like everything. And I've actually had clients be like, hey, I can't find your phone number anywhere. I'm like, oh, schedule a call with my link. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of scope changes and timeline changes because halfway through the project, they wanted to add e-commerce capability into the website. And that was a possibility for the platform that we were using. And so I was just like, yeah, sounds good. My developer was on board. It was great. And I did not have her re-sign a contract. I did not send in writing like what the scope changes were. I did not get like her approval in writing. I did not update the timeline like officially. I was just like, okay, yeah, this is going to push it back a little bit. Is that okay? And she was like, yeah, totally fine. A lot of this was like over the phone or like texting. Throughout the project, she was texting me as if we were like besties, which I was like, oh, this is so cool and fun that like I have a client that, you know, she's young like me, like, you know, like she, you know, lots of emojis, very casual. I think she definitely had experience, and this is what I think, so I don't know, but I think that she had probably experienced a lot of pushback in her career because she had like grown a really big following, and like she was very young, but she was very good at what she did, you know, and I think she had experienced pushback due to her age. And so she, I think she was majorly overcompensating with this like kind of like hard nose approach and behavior that she exhibited in the second half of the project, which was just so out of left field for me. After the project was over, I actually realized that throughout the project, she was talking to me about a lot of her staff like churn. Like there was a lot of turnover internally in her company. Like her assistants were quitting all the time. Like there were people like coming in and out. Like I had different point people. Like it was always someone new, you know, which is, it's giving Devil Wears Prada a little bit, which, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is like fine. But I think that that like definitely made me feel a lot better because I was like, okay, this isn't just like a one-time thing. Like this is something that happens a lot in her career. So I think there was a little bit of overcompensation to like just pushback that she had gotten due to her age in her industry. And basically like there were just a couple of issues that popped up at the end of the website, specifically like near the launch where she went back through the website, and because she hadn't actually looked at it earlier or she didn't look at it close enough, she had like a bunch of changes, and then she got personally offended that like those things like hadn't changed, or like that there were like bugs or that there were like little like copy things or whatever throughout the copy, and copywriting services were not included in her project. And she provided copy for like, it was like product descriptions. And so like, I just plugged them right in, and I never said that I was going to copy edit them. And then she got mad because they weren't copy edited and there were like mistakes in the copy that literally she provided. And even if like I had written copy, like there's always going to be bugs. There's always going to be typos. Like I'm definitely like very upfront with clients about the fact that like, this is a draft. There are going to be issues. We have a whole process built in for you to provide feedback. And even after the website launches, there are still going to be bugs. There are still going to be things that you catch. There are still going to be issues, and that's normal. We will do everything in our power to like adjust and like change and get as close as possible. But like the reality of the world is that like nothing is ever going to be completely perfect. And every time you look at it, there's probably going to be something else you want to change. And so that's kind of like the perspective that I take now with like a lot of my clients. But here's where the tea gets really hot, guys. Okay. So she ends up getting really upset because the website is not like ready. And like she had made like, it's not ready because she had never given me feedback and then gave me feedback literally like all the night before and was like calling me freaking out, like whatever. In the moment, I just like start apologizing and like crying on the phone. Mm-hmm. And that was where, that was the moment that the power dynamic completely shifted, where I'm saying sorry for something that like was not my fault. I was assigning blame to myself. Like, yeah. I will never, ever, ever in my life ever again apologize for something that is not my fault, because it's like an admission of guilt. It's like when I – if you get into like a car accident or something and you say sorry to someone – like my dad is an attorney. He's like, don't say sorry. Don't say anything, because they can use that against you in the court. And so like she – as soon as I, because she brought up these things to me on the phone, and I started like just apologizing, and then she just claws out, just like dug in, like I'm talking rude, I'm talking condescending, I'm talking like just using language that like no one should be using to a service provider like on the phone. And another thing that I wish I would have done differently is just hang up, because like anyone out there who's experienced a client who's exhibiting like rude or aggressive behavior, like you do not need to listen to them. You can say, I am going to hang up now and we can reconnect at a later time when you're ready to speak to me respectfully. And I think that's okay to say. And I wish that, like, it's so hard in the moment. It's easy to, like, look back and be like, oh, I should never have let her talk to me like that. But, like, you're just so – I didn't even know what was going on. Like, it was so out of nowhere. Like, and so, like, that phone call ended. I'm crying. I'm freaking out. Like – she sends me like an email and I was like, hey, we're gonna like get everything fixed for you. I like stay up basically all night. Also, by the way, this is happening when my son is like 3 or 4 months old. Like,
oh my gosh,
he is like, I'm a new mom. I'm not even out of like postpartum yet. Okay. So like, I'm already not sleeping. I'm already doing the whole new mom thing. I'm already feeling vulnerable. And like, then this happens. And so like, I was a wreck, like just emotionally, like I couldn't sleep, like I wasn't hungry, like I was having like depression, anxiety symptoms like crazy. It was like, and that was only the beginning of it, because a couple days later, like we basically decide like, okay, I'm just gonna like let my developer like handle this, because like they have established a rapport. It's really in the development phase of the project anyways, so like I'm just gonna bow out and then like let him take it. And like, they were cool with that, and I was like, all right, cool, we're just gonna like, you don't owe me any more money, I'm gonna keep everything you paid me up until this point, like let's just cut ties. And I was like, okay, this is gonna be good, I just don't need to be around the energy anymore. A couple days later, they come back to me via email and say that they want a refund because of XYZ reasons, that like there was errors in the copy and that like the timeline wasn't met and like all of these things that like literally were their issues. They had provided me copy that had issues. They had wanted to change the scope in the middle of the project and I didn't update the contract. So bad on me for not updating the contract, but it's because they wanted to have e-commerce, whatever. I sent them an email back and I was just like, no, I'm not going to provide you a refund. Like, you've paid for all of my services up until this point. We're ending here and I'm keeping everything you pay me, but you don't owe me anything else. And they could not let that go. And so they had first asked for a partial refund. Then they came back later asking for a full refund. To which I just did not respond. Like I was not going to entertain that. And I also didn't want to like have a paper trail of like communication that like she could use against me if she ever like tried to sue me or whatever. She took to Instagram to her huge following and named me. Well, at first on stories, she said that she wasn't going to name me, but she like told the story from her perspective with like lies and lies and lies. And then she did end up tagging me. And so I had people, like I had hundreds, thousands of people like spamming my Instagram, like commenting, like like leaving horrible reviews on my Facebook. Like she submitted something with the Small Business Association against my company, to which I did not respond because I was like, I'm not even gonna like give them any ammo to screenshot or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just like, once, I'm sure you guys have seen like TikTok, you know, issues where people are like, okay, you guys are never going to be like story time, like look at all these screenshots, you know what I mean? Like I just I didn't want to like give them anything, you know what I mean? And so like I was like, if they have something legally that they want to do with me, they can like serve me papers or whatever. But I knew that like I hadn't done anything wrong. And so like they definitely threatened, they're like, oh, we're gonna sue her. Like I was so freaked out. Like, I thought someone was going to come to my house. Like, I, you know what I mean? I just, like, my brain was just going crazy. And, like, so I was just crying every day. Like, so emotional. Like, I was on edge all the time. Like, I had extreme email anxiety, like, inbox anxiety because of, like, just the negative things that were continuing to pop up. I like shut down my Instagram. I like put it on private for 3 full months and like literally didn't go on it for 3 months because like I was so just, I don't even want to use the word triggered, but like it was just so like difficult for me to like go on there and like see all these things. And people were constantly like DMing me, like just saying horrible, horrible things, like not even related to the project. Okay. Like saying things about my appearance, saying things about my son, saying things about my family. Like, and I don't even, I didn't even share any pictures of him. Like someone commented, like, I mean, it's, I can laugh about it now, but someone like, I made a comment about like, oh, I'm like turning 27. And someone like commented like, oh, well, you look like 10 years older or something. Oh, like, my God. It's like, okay, what the heck is wrong with people? So that happened. And then, okay, everything kind of died down for a little bit. 3 weeks later, she came out with a podcast episode all about her horrible like website experience, named me in the podcast episode. Everything got dredged up again and like people came after mm-hmm. me again. I, to this day, have not listened to the episode. I never will. Other people have listened for me.
Yeah,
and I was notified that that she called me the C word on her podcast with named me and named my company and everything. So I feel like it's so funny. Like another like random thing that like popped up in like the podcast Facebook group, actually, someone joined, I think, pretending to be a designer. And they like posted that like, I'm just like, this is getting kind of long, but they posted that like, hey, I heard that Jen, like, you know, blah, 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 like scammed this like client or whatever. What do you guys think about that? Like just trying to like stir up drama in my own freaking community. And people like went and like, they're like, and then they linked to the episode in the group. And I'm sure like maybe some of you went and listened to the episode, you know, and it's like, people came to my rescue. Okay. People are like, this does not sound like Jen. This sounds like a bunch of lies. It sounds like you were a horrible client. Like, you know, people were just like commenting, like supporting me. And I was just like, oh my gosh. I was like, should I delete the post? But I left it there. I was like, I have nothing. And I think I commented or something. And I was like, I will never say a negative word about this person because I mean, naming them because I don't roll like that. That's not like my personality. That's not in my values to put people on blast online. I like to handle things behind closed doors just because that's the respectful professional thing to do. And I honestly feel bad for this person because of the way that they reacted. And that just reflects more on them than it does on me. And so that was like my little statement. Oh my gosh. And that's it. And it's just people were coming out of the woodwork. People I'd never worked with saying, oh, she did the same thing to me. I worked with Hello June and they did the same thing to me. And like literally people I had never worked with before, people that were in my network that like turned on me and like tried to like buddy up with this client. It was just so – and it's honestly ridiculous to even like go back through and like talk about all the crazy things that happened. But you know, I kind of baked in my lessons learned throughout the whole story. But there it is. Gosh. There's the story. Probably like the worst, spooky client story that I've ever heard. I have to take the cake on everything because it was so horrible.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I remember like when this was all happening and I was just so beyond shocked with how someone could be so blatantly hurtful and cruel and like not even just like stating the facts but like bringing up lies.
It was like lies, like, literal lies. Yeah, literally lies. Like it was news to me.
Yeah, I listened to the episode because I wanted to like, not because I, you know, I wanted to do it in a protectful of you kind of way. Like I just wanted to see if there was anything that you should sue her about, which I feel like you could have easily sued her.
Oh, I considered suing her for defamation. I consulted with an attorney because I mean, I thought she was going to end my business. You know what I mean? And like, all the talk of lawyers and everything, not once did she ever like serve me with like papers or anything. Like I had an airtight contract, like, you know, and that is why you guys need to have good contracts. I mean, like, that could have been the difference between me getting sued and not, you know what I mean? And like, but that just like makes me, and okay, guys, the cherry on top of the whole thing. All right, you ready? She's still using my original branding for her company. And a lot of the original web design is the exact same. A couple of things have changed, but like the type system, the colors, the fonts, like, the whole brand is literally the exact same. So this wasn't that bad, was it?
Yeah,
not enough to call me the C word on her podcast. At least, like, get rebranded. You know what I mean? So I feel like I have the last laugh, honestly. Not that it's really about that. But, like, I can, like, look back on that and be like, holy crap. Like, I was gaslit the literal whole time. Like, I was questioning my own sanity. I was like, did I do something wrong? Like, I know now that like I literally like did not do anything wrong. I think if there was one thing that I could have like worked on better is just like over communication and like follow up on like feedback. Yeah. I should not have let her not provide feedback to me on the website. Like, I should not have done that. I should have like gotten her under contract. Like, just so many things that I wish I would have done, but I don't. I definitely did not deserve what she said or did. And yeah, I'm hopeful that like me sharing this story will and not only entertain, but encourage you guys that, like, you should never apologize for something that's not your fault, because that just opens a whole can of worms.
True. I'm curious, when you had the discovery call with her initially, what was her reaction to the investment of the website? Was she, did she push back a lot?
Totally fine. She's like, yep, sounds about right.
Wow. Okay. Because I remember being like so disgusted listening to her podcast, and she was talking about, like, before the project even started, she was like, yeah, and she quoted me, like, I don't remember how much the website was. Was it like 10K or something?
Yeah, I was around that. Yeah.
Okay. Which it should have been more.
Yeah. I know you said undercharged. Yeah.
But she was like, yeah. And then she quoted me 10K. And I remember thinking to myself, like, that's insane. Like, no one has ever paid that much for a website. Like, that should be like top of the line, like, best website to ever be created. I'm like, girl, you don't know anything about this industry.
No.
Like, you cannot speak for all web designers and be like, 10K is crazy, and then also agree to pay for it. Like,
I know. I didn't get any pushback in the call. She was like, maybe she just played it cool, but she signed on. Like, I didn't force her to, like, do any of this.
Oh my gosh. So,
yeah, that's my story.
Yeah, I hope she's changed, but
I hope she has too. We have mutually blocked each other on all social media. I have email and phone filter set up so that she can't contact me. But it all died out, you know, like, the news cycle continues. Not that this was like news in any way, but the significant event in my life. And I did end up talking to a therapist just to kind of like get past this, like, I don't know, this just anxiety that was just like so comprehensive and like debilitating for so long, about like specifically around checking my email and receiving phone calls because of the, like, it was bullying. Like, it puts you in such a different headspace, and it just warps your reality. Like, if anyone's ever been in a situation where they've been gaslit by somebody in their life, clients are really good gaslighters, because they have they think they have leverage over you because they're like hiring you like as a subcontractor, you know. But like it's so crazy to think back and like think about my headspace at the time, because like I was so like hard on myself, and I was so like I literally cried every day for like a month. Like, I would just be on the phone with people just like crying, and I would be on Voxer with people just like crying. It was just like so sad. And so like I wish I could go back in time and like give myself a hug and be like, you've done nothing wrong. This person has personal issues. And the fact that her staff was constantly like leaving her probably says a little bit something about her management style. Definitely, you know what I mean? And so, the discovery call, there really were not a lot of red flags, though. Like, it's just crazy. I think, oh, my, man, I wish I would have never taken that on. But
I know. Yeah, I remember, like, when I think the reason why I knew so much about it was because I was subcontracting for you for that project, doing packaging. And so, like, I actually worked with the client a little bit, but which terrified me after that happened to you, and I still had to wrap stuff up. I was like,
I remember that. Oh my God. I remember that.
Please don't ruin my business, too.
I think they were like emailing directly with you. I think now that I remember, like they were, but I think it was like her team member or something, and they were like totally fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I cannot overstate how like sorry I am that happened to you, but I do see so much change from like the way that you manage your own business and like how you've changed your contracts and how you communicate. And like, you know, recently we had a client, I'm not going to name any names, of course, I'm not going to say anything bad about anybody, but we had a client that pushed back on the timeline. Like, they just provided feedback late. Like, they're just a busy person. And you were like, oh, I think I might like update the contract and like, you know, things like that. And like, that probably wouldn't have been something you even thought about before, like what happened to you. But it's so good to be safe and like also being super clear and like outlining every little detail and like what's going to happen and when it's going to happen and what's not included. And like, even in your proposals, I know you have like a little tiny tidbit under like the web design that says like, what is not included. And maybe
honestly, that list has gotten longer than what is included over time. Like,
which is so important to state, because like, especially with copywriting, I think people automatically think like, oh, if I just like send you a list of bullet points, you'll like make a website with beautifully written copy. It's like, no, you have to pay like extra for that.
So. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So definitely taught me a lot. And I tread lightly with people who exhibit similar symptoms, red flags.
Yeah. So many lessons learned from that.
I know. So many lessons learned from every story. So just a quick thank you to everyone who submitted their stories today. Like, it was fun to read through and just, I mean, not because anyone suffered. And of course, we're like sad for everybody that had to deal with anything here. But, you know, it's like, this is the stuff that people don't talk about on Instagram. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what this podcast is all about. And so if anyone's going through a similar situation, hopefully not too similar, but I'm sure someone is dealing with something right now. Like, you're not alone. Most likely thing is that it's not your fault. Don't apologize for something that's not your fault. And we're right here with you, and reach out to your community. I feel like we see posts like weekly about like, hey, I'm dealing with a difficult client situation. What would you guys do? Like, you are not alone. So quick plug for the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/betterbranddesigner. Come and join us. It's free. Like, just answer a couple questions for us, and then you can hop right in and ask your question. We have new people joining literally every single day, which is so fun. So thank you guys for listening. And thank you, Lauren, for joining me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. It was really fun to read through these.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, we will see you guys in next week's episode. We're going to skip our inbox question for time today. But thanks for hanging out with us.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. Hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Leave a review, join our free Facebook community, and share the pod with your designer friends so that they can join the fun. Give me a shout on Instagram at Better Podcast if you want to submit an inbox question, and visit the pod at betterbranddesigner.com to learn more and snag discounts on my favorite resources. See you next week.